Lord, we praise you today and thank you that we can gather together in this fashion to worship you and to hear from you. And we do pray that you would help us to align our hearts and minds more closely with your will and with your way. So please help us to focus now on what you have for us from your word, and help us, Lord, to respond in whatever fashion that you desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, some people have their priorities all messed up. They're investing all of their time and energy in things that won't last. And in the scripture that we're about to look at this morning, we find Jesus calling people to seek that which endures. To seek that which endures. The Bible passage is John 6, verses 22 to 40. It's picking up where we left off last Sunday. You have not been able to listen to some of these sermons from this series from John's Gospel, they are available. You can listen to them on our website at northlimamennonite.com, or you can request a CD as well. So here we are, John chapter 6, verse 22, says, "On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they had ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?' Jesus answered them and said, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled.'" Now, verse 27 here is going to be really key in what we're going to be talking about this morning. "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Tell you what, I'd like you to say that with me. We'll come back to it in a little bit, after I finish the text then. But verse 27, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" And then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, Jesus had just done some really amazing things. He healed diseased people. He fed around 5,000 guys with, five barley loaves and two small fish. And he walked on the water while the disciples were out there in the boat. So it's understandable that some folks would seek him out of after he did such extraordinary things. But these individuals now that Jesus is talking to at the moment came looking for him. Did they fully understand who he was and what he was able to provide for them? Well, not really. Some of these individuals who were at that all-you-can-eat fish fry by the beach there had a better concept of what was in their tummy than what was in their soul, or what should have been in their soul. I had to think about the church just up the street here, Good Hope Lutheran. Anybody know what their slogan, logo, what their... wow, yes. I was going to say, it's in their newsletter on their website, and they have it posted outside on... is that where you saw it when you were driving by? Food for the body, or feeding the body and the soul, we have food for the body and the soul. It's that kind of thing. Now, the people that Jesus was addressing here in our scripture this morning, the passage I just read, seem to have gotten part of the slogan, but not the other part. Verse 27, Jesus said, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Now, to help us think a little bit more about this, I'd like to just boil it down to two summary statements. The first one being that seeking, or primarily seeking after things that perish, it's going to end up leaving us empty. We're not going to be fulfilled. We're going to be lacking and needy. But the other statement is that seeking after things that endure will leave us satisfied and fulfilled. So let's start with that first one. Just seeking after things that perish will leave us empty. This really begs the question, what has captivated our time and attention? I mean, we all are engaged in earning a living, perhaps taking care of a family, and those kinds of things. But what really is captivating our time and attention? Lewis Berry Chafer, referring to a friend who was devoting most of his time and energy in the pursuit of an insignificant matter, said, "He reminds me of a bulldog chasing after a train. What's he going to do with it after he catches it?" Well, good question. One of the things we see in Scripture is that chasing after more and more is, I almost said insane. Well, perhaps that's not a bad paraphrase of the text. It's vanity, the Scripture says. I'm turning to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Verses 1 to 11. And here we see an individual, a fellow that had tried all sorts of things, but he discovered something when it was all said and done that none of it provided real happiness. And I'd like you to listen this morning to at least a part of the testimony of this person that had, he was very knowledgeable. He held a prestigious position. And yet, he had to go through this in order to discover something really important. So he says in chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, "I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. But surely this also was vanity. And I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. And then notice the punchline here, verse 11, that I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was poof. Indeed all was vanity. And grasping for the wind, there was no profit under the sun. That fellow made an important discovery. And I trust that you and I, if we haven't made that discovery, will do that now. It's to recognize the futile emptiness of trying to be happy apart from God. This fellow had everything that this life could afford. He had position and status and money and things and all the pleasures that were at his disposal. And yet he discovered, when it was all said and done, that it was all vanity. He was chasing after all this stuff that did not satisfy. He lacked that which only God could provide. So, chasing after more and more, just for the sake of chasing after whatever it is vanity. Now, secondly, spending money on just the material things does not bring true satisfaction either. And so we have that spoken to in Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And then this question, why do you spend money on what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Some people, some of us enjoy, at least at times, eating at a buffet, don't we? And so for one price, one can indulge in whatever that buffet offers. And some of you probably get your money's worth. But no matter how much we indulge in the things that can be purchased with U.S. currency, there's still a void that only God can fill. The Lord invites people to come to Him that the inner life might be nourished and nurtured. And in the passage I just quoted, God said, let your soul delight itself in abundance. It's there. It's available for you and I. But what are we chasing after? What are we seeking? What are we pursuing? Spending money on just the material things does not bring true satisfaction. Now, going right along with that, having a focus on self instead of on God really has a disastrous outcome as well. spiritually speaking. And here we are in Luke chapter 12. What was going on here is that a couple guys were in a bit of a squabble. It had to do with an inheritance. One of the guys wanted Jesus to tell his brother to divide the inheritance with him. And so Jesus actually addressed something that really got to the crux of the matter, got to the heart of the matter. And so in verse 15 of Luke 12, he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." That's a key one there. Beware of covetousness, because that's such a sneaky one for all of us, isn't it? One's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. If you've ever traveled, I don't mean to imply that you have to travel out of the country to recognize this, but some of the places that I've been at in Central and Latin America, one quickly begins to understand that. You see people that are incredibly happy, or shall I say have the joy of the Lord, that have very little material possessions. And then Jesus continued, he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' And so he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns, build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' And God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you, and then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Now, lest we misunderstand here, the issue was not that this involved a possible building project. That was not the issue. The issue was a perspective on life that was leaving God out of the picture. The man in the parable was focused on self. He was seeking after things that perish. He was not putting the Lord first. He was not being rich toward God. He had his priorities messed up. Well, just seeking after things that perish will leave us empty, will leave us lacking, will leave us unfulfilled, and headed for a spiritual disaster. But let's flip the coin now, and let's look at the other side of that, and let's examine and think about the other bottom line statement that I said we would be talking about. Seeking after things that endure will leave us satisfied, both now and for eternity. Sometimes folks, I'm afraid, have the mistaken notion that being fully committed to Christ and the church will somehow rob them of enjoyment in life. But it's quite the opposite. Let me point out several things this morning that connect with this that we would do well to remember. First of all, pursuing Jesus results in everlasting life. And that's really at the heart of our scripture text this morning. And we see that in verse, here in back to verse 27 again, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." So, all right, since it is Father's Day, question for you dads then. What is the most important thing that you can provide for your children? What's the most important thing you can provide for your children? Is it a smartphone? Is it a laptop? Is it a hunting expedition? Is it a car? Is it to pay their way through college? Is it, and I could list a whole bunch of other things. Well, no, the most important thing that we can provide for our children is to consistently follow Jesus on our own and then share with our children what that means. The Israelites were told something very significant, and it has application not just for the Israelites, but for you and I as well. I'm in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 to 7, where they were told, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And it goes on from there. Now, in verses 20 and 21, the same chapter, it says, when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, well, we were... And they were to explain how they were slaves of Pharaoh, and the Lord brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand and showed them great signs and wonders and brought them out of there that he might bring them into the land of which he had promised their fathers. And we have our own kind of things that that we can be talking about and explaining. We're just reminded from this that sometimes the best teaching takes place not in a formal classroom setting, but in other settings as things come up in day-to-day life. And it's the important thing is that we have a clear understanding of who Jesus is and that he is the sole means whereby one can be saved. So that we are able to articulate that and to communicate that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I got saved, right? Did you? Lord willing, our children will get saved. Well, pursuing Jesus results in everlasting life. Secondly, pursuing Jesus provides inner fulfillment. Now, in verse 35, here in our text this morning, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And there again, it concerns me sometimes that folks think that the material things or status or achievement or money would bring fulfillment. And in some cases, people have pursued these very things throughout their career, have made it to the top, have gotten to the top of the corporate ladder, and have discovered that there is something terribly wrong with this picture. In fact, some have been so troubled at that point that they've ended it all. Some church leaders have referred to that void within as being a God-shaped vacuum. A God-shaped vacuum that's there that only one's creator, God, can fill through Jesus Christ. The psalmist said, Psalm 107, 8 and 9, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." So do you want true fulfillment? Do you want true satisfaction? If so, you need to embrace Jesus and cultivate that relationship with him, to walk with him. And thirdly, pursuing Jesus will result in laying up treasure in heaven. Now, we're used to, are we not, to things wearing out, decaying, rusting, breaking down, fading, deteriorating, expiring, whatever else goes along with that. But in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, here's what we have Jesus saying to his disciples. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So, what is it that you and I are chasing after? Is it just the earthly treasure? Or is it indeed seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Is it just investing in things that perish, or is it also investing in things that endure, that will last for all eternity? Jesus said, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life." May that be the case for you and I. Gracious God, we recognize that it's so easy to get caught up in a lot of peripheral things along life's journey. We realize that sometimes we have gotten caught up in the wrong things. Please forgive us for those things that we have been pursuing that were not of your design for our lives. And please continue to guide our feet, that we might be in tune with your agenda, your purposes and plan, Lord. Help us to discern your mind, to know your will, to walk in your way. Lord, today we pray for those of us who are parents with children yet at home, and pray that you would guide and direct and grant grace and help in this very significant work that you have called us to at that stage in life. Or for those of us that may be grandparents, that we may continue to have a godly influence and impact. Please be at work in the lives of children also who have chosen a different route than that which you desire for them. Please continue to be working and drawing them unto yourself. Help us in all these things that we might honor you, our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen.